And I like the fact that he had mentioned that I'm always entertaining. That makes me feel good. That really does. I try not to be, and it's because I was actually sitting there, and my wife will say that, I see you smirking, you're up to something inside of your head. Well, it's just really interesting to see how Betty has the capability of picking the song that the Lord has put upon my heart, and I'm sitting up here, and I'm almost wondering, who picked it tonight, Betty?
Michelle.
Oh, Michelle did, okay. So I'm wondering if Michelle is hacking into my computer and seeing what's going on while I'm working on it. But I just am thankful to be able to be here. And it's been a crazy weekend for me. And with work, I usually have time to settle in and to really put my thoughts together. And the Lord put this on my heart, and I've been thinking about this Psalm 23 for a while. And I'm just thankful for what the Lord provides for us to be able to be a part of, to be able to listen. And many of you know, we just had all these torrential rains the last couple days. And I got stuck at work Friday night because there was so much rain that part of the SkyTrain, it goes below grade, right behind our fleet shop there at the airport, Sky Harbor. And it was a disaster. We had an individual who we were celebrating his 20-year anniversary with the city of Phoenix. We did a really nice spread, potluck, pulled pork, all kinds of good stuff. And I was thinking, all right, I'll be able to get out of here as soon as this potluck is over. I have a meeting at 1 o'clock and I'm done. And that was not the case, because during the meeting at 1 o'clock, I have a window that faces north. You could see the north runway and all that, but you couldn't even see out the window. It was raining so hard. It was really, really just the probably the worst rainfall I've seen at the airport ever. And that portion of the SkyTrain where it actually goes below grade and comes back up, that completely flooded out, shut down the SkyTrain. So we have all sorts of problems right then and there. The pumps, it was supposed to be built to be able to support a 100-year flood. And one of the gentlemen I actually really got amused by, he said, well, it looks like we had a 110-year flood. And we were there late Friday night. We had to call a bunch of vendors to come in and contract vendors to come in and help support and pump out the water, which I left at 8:30 and the water didn't even look like it subsided to, it subsided about 2 or 3 inches, but it just must have been tens upon tens of thousands of gallons. And it was so much rain at one time that infiltrated down into that low portion of the SkyTrain that the where the walls are, it actually looked like waterfalls going into it, and manholes were popping up, and it was a mess. But again, that really, I wanted to be able to settle in and to be able to focus on the sermon. I did have plenty of time to work on it, but it just wasn't the same. You know, I really like to be able to prepare my thoughts and to go over my scriptures and to be able to put it together and really have clarity on where I was going with this. And the song here that led into this sermon was actually exactly where I was going. And the Lord knows where we're going. And the Lord is our shepherd, and I shall not want. There's a lot of things that I want. I want to be able to sit there and to focus and to do those things that I feel are necessary as a responsibility to the Lord. And I didn't get that time, but that's okay. That's okay, because like as our brother was praying, you know, I'm thankful for that, because it's those words that the Lord puts on our heart that get communicated that are important. And so the title is The Lord is My Shepherd. And the first words right after that is I shall not want. And that's because I think about those things that we really, those things in life that we want so much. I want a lot of things right now, and I'm not going to get them. I know that there's really cool stuff out there that my little heart desires, but the important things of life are the things that God provides. And I've been thinking about this psalm and how it really is essential for us to understand how the Lord takes care of us, how he provides everything for us. You know, and it's unfortunate that in situations that happen in life, you know, things happen, and I look at, you know, Gary didn't get his way with being able to go home and relax on a Friday night and do those things that Gary wanted to do, but it's something that when we seek after doing the work for the Lord, we find our place in peculiar positions and situations, and things are unfolding, and we know that there's a contribution that we all have that can apply to make the situation better. And typically that provides for others. And as this was unfolding and we were tearing down fences, we were gathering together equipment at the airport, I was thinking that, you know, there's a lot of people that aren't able to get where they need to go. You know, they shut down all the flights. Everything was a mess at the airport, but it was a little something that I could provide to help people get along their way in life. And I'm thankful for how God gives me the ability to be able to be more considerate for others, to be able to know when there's an important need of others, and there's capabilities that I have that can contribute to that, that can support that. And all of us, we have those abilities, we have those talents that we could contribute to be able to help others out along the way. You know, that's being part of this flock, that this congregation, this church, part of God's purpose in this life, that we know that we can have the ability and the talents to be able to support others that are around us, to show them the way, to look and see and to know of the good stuff, to bring them in from the fields of sin. You know, those are the fields that I grew up in, fields of sin, and it was very tumultuous at times, and there was things that I was doing that I just don't understand why and the purpose of it, as our brother was preaching earlier. It's like, why did I do all that? And I'm thankful to be able to see so much youth be a part of this congregation, to be a part of this church, and to see and to have examples of all the goodness that God provides in other people's lives. Life is still difficult, and there's still situations that can be frustrating and challenging and overwhelming at times, but I know that the Lord gives us these opportunities to be able to serve. He gives us these places where we can rest. He gives us the ability, the strength, the nutrition, the nutrients, the nourishment of the gospel to be able to help us sustain and to walk in this life. And it's because He takes care of the people that believe in Him and that know that He is there and that He is a part of everything we do if we desire Him to do so. And we can wander, we can be led astray and all those things, but we know that the Lord takes care of His people, His children, His sheep. And that should be something that influences us to not want to go astray, to not want those things of the world, to want those things that the Lord provides and that helps us be able to have encouragement in our lives to do those things that are good for others. It takes time. It takes effort. It causes us to be weary. It causes us to sometimes have strain in our lives. But we know and we see the fruits that we bear for the Lord. And those things that we do, we see how it's a way to be able to provide others an avenue to God. It helps us be able to show people that the Lord provides an abundance of love, care, nourishment, guidance, direction, all those things that a lot of times we struggle through, that we ask the questions of why? Why does this happen this way? Why does this work out the way it is? How come I'm not getting what I want? Why does it have to be like this? But, you know, the Lord puts everything in place, and one of the things that we do as His children and understand is that everything's in His time. Everything is done according to His will. And I appreciate that so much more as I see it. And the things of life that we struggle with, it tends to cause less of an effect on my emotions and my patience. And I appreciate how the Lord gives us that capability to be meek, to be kind, to be submissive, to see how he's working in our heart. It really should enlighten us to be able to see the goodness of God in our lives, and that in all the days that we live, in all the things that we go through, whether it's work, school, friendships, relationships, that if we put God as the focal point, he always is there to care for us, to help us understand, to give us what we need each and every day. And so I wanted to go through this Psalm here, 23, and talk about this a little bit. And it says here, after he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And I was thinking about that, these green pastures. We've gotten a lot of water here in the recent days, and it really can bring to life a desert place. And I see the pastures in which God has provided for us, me in particular, and these thoughts that I put together, that ever since that I found this place in God, in my life, that it's never been barren, just like his green pasture. It's been there always to be providing for everybody and everybody around me, from the young to the old. Everybody can feast upon it. It's a really neat thing to be able to see how there's an abundance for everybody to take part of, that it can sustain everybody, that there's something there for everybody. And it's because of God's love that he is always there to provide that. And these still waters in which God provides, that it provides for the pasture, it provides for his sheep, his children, never leaves you parched. It's always enjoyable to be able to take a drink from. These are the waters of life that God provides for his children. And one of the things with God's pasture is that it's a place of safety. God's always got his eye on it, and he's always looking out for his children. He's there to be able to watch over you when you rest, when you're awake, when you're at peace, when you're relaxing. God provides this watch care in our lives. And, you know, these are the pastures that we are capable of showing people and providing them direction to. And, you know, we're fed no matter where we are in our life. If we're hungry for the word, this pasture where we can go, where God is, it feeds us. It feeds us the spiritual words of wisdom, words of discernment, words of understanding. All these things that God provides helps us. It heals us, and it delivers us from those dry, barren places, those places that we can wander through and suffer in. And God provides these beautiful places. And what a difference it is in a life when you find these green pastures that God leads you to. And God always knows our problems. God always understands the inner heart of man, and he provides those things that can enrich us. I think about a lot in life about where I'm going to be in 15 and 20 years, and I'm thankful to know that I could put my future, my present, in my future in God's hands. And wherever we end up, it's a place where I know that he will provide and that he will give us to be able to be cared for, because we put our trust in him. And when you're in his pasture, you know that when you trust in God, that you are well taken care of. He's there to care for you. And I appreciate how God does his work in our lives to be able to draw us in, to show us, to give us a little bit of a taste, to give us a little bit of an understanding of how it could be or how it will be. And we have that ability to be able to show others. And, you know, God has had this in his plan since the beginning. And I think about, and I looked it up in Ezekiel 34:11-15. It says, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out of the people and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. And God has brought his people back to him. We have the nation of Israel among us now, and he's restored them. He's restored all of them to be able to be together. He drew them from all parts of the world, from all difficulties, and from all struggles. And now today, this includes the Gentiles as well. That's you, me, and all those people that we encounter on a daily basis. And that's, I look at our city and the expansion of it, how rapidly this city is expanding, and I see just the diversity from all different places, and how this is interesting, because when we go to grocery stores and that, we encounter people from all walks of life, from all types of different places. And it's just another opportunity to be able to draw people in to the Lord and to see how that this work of his is growing. It's growing. It's growing among us. It's growing throughout this world. The world is changing, and we have a part in that. We have a part to be able to draw people in and to show them the way. But we have to make sure that, you know, our hearts and our minds are in the right place, that we're letting God lead us in our lives, and that we're not doing the things that we want, but we do the things that God wants. And, you know, that makes life busy, because we've got to handle our personal lives, we got to handle our work lives, our school lives, and our spiritual lives as well. And it takes a lot of work on our part to be able to do that. And, you know, it's time management. We think about time management and places of business, and you only have so much time in the day, and you got to kind of look and analyze. Sometimes during the day, I'll have 7 or 10 meetings, and meetings are overlapping, and I have to prioritize. Okay, what's more important? What's going to be the most impact for the greater good of the organization? And I thought about that, and I think about how if we prioritize God in our lives, that we think about how it provides for the greater good of his church, such an organization throughout the world, his church, that we do have the ability to make decisions and choices to be able to put that first. And to see that when we put it first, it helps us be able to see how good it works for the greater good of his gospel and for his children and for the generations to come, how it starts keeping the mindset in the forefront of God's love for his children. And when we follow after that, and when we show other people the way, that it brings us and them to a good place. And he restores his church. He brings it back together. And even in Psalms 23, it says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And I really appreciate that term, restoreth my soul, restoreth. I looked that up. It's to heal, to cure, to repair, to rebuild, to revive, to resuscitate, to bring back to life, to return or bring back after absence as well. You know, and we all come from different places, and we all sometimes go in different directions, but one of the things that I've learned with the Lord is that he's always there, and he's always trying to draw us close to him. There's times in our lives where we decided to do the opposite of what we should be doing in life. You know, there's times when we sin, but I really appreciate the fact that God loves his children so much that he restores our souls, through multiple bad decisions, whether it's 1, 5, 50, or 100. The Lord is willing to be able to forgive us, to bring us back. And it's one of those things where we feel his love in doing so. That's the meekness and the submissiveness of his children when they know that a mistake was made and that we could come back to the Lord and see that he receives us, that he brings us back in his presence, that we have the life of the gospel back in us. And I'm thankful for that. It helps us be able to rebuild our lives when lives have fallen apart. It helps us be able to see that God is there to lift us up when we fall down, to give us that helping hand when we need it, when we're sick, when we're completely ill and we don't understand why, that God brings us comfort, that he brings us peace in our heart, and understanding that overall, he knows what is essential to us. And we have that avenue to ask for him to provide us that comfort. But there is an effort in that. And, you know, sometimes when we're in the path of life, it looks like it could be really difficult. But we have to, you know, forge forward and to walk in a manner that can seem difficult, but knowing that the Lord is there with us to show us the way, we know that we could be taken along and provided strength as we go. I wanted to read in Proverbs 15:19. It says, "The way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain." You know, those things in which we do, if we don't put the effort forth, it could be very difficult. It could be very difficult when we don't feel like it or when we don't want to. It tends to cause a lot of disruption in our thought processes, in our mind, in our activities. And that's one of those things where if I got a minute to do something, I just try to get it done. Don't put off tomorrow what you can do today kind of thing. And it really keeps me off the couch. And I thank the Lord that, you know, there's days when I'm in pain internally, like my bones and my joints. And there's days when I feel as if I'm doing work. I feel lonely. I feel as if it's tough. I feel as if it's a struggle. But I know that God takes all that away. He takes it all away. He helps us through those tough times. And he gives us rest when we lie down. I'm thankful that God gives us rest. He gives us this place to be able to come and to rest from the world. He gives us a place in our hearts and our mind to be able to set things aside, to be able to pray to him. That should bring us rest. When you're in conversation with the Lord, if you're distressed, if you're struggling, the Lord will let his spirit bring that peace and that rest within inside of you. As painful as life can be, I know that God treats all his children the same. And it's because he loves all of us. And there's a balance that we have that we can put in our daily life, a balance of the priority, which should be our spiritual life with the daily life. And in a manner of prayer, being able to ask God, you know, what is it that I should be doing? What is it that you want me to do? How can I serve you this day? And the Lord will give us guidance in that. He'll show us. And I know that he puts forth all of his efforts to everyone equally. He's not a respecter of persons. He has a desire for everyone to be able to see what he can do in our lives. It says in 1 Timothy 4:4-6, For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. And once we put these things before God and we let him work within our heart, he directs us. He opens our eyes. He shows us the way, and he shows that we can provide an avenue for other people into his great love, the great love that he has for his children. And in Luke 15:10, it says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And I think about this, and I think about how that, no matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done, that there's joy in the presence of angel for one person that has sinned and has come back to the fold of God. And I wanted to share. I did a little proofreading on the prodigal son, and it's found in Luke 15:11 through 32. And this talks about these two sons, and their father divided the inheritance in between the two of them, and the younger one decided to go into a faraway country and to have a real good time. And he really, basically, the way I look at it and interpret it as it would go today, is basically he partied and blew all the money that, or the inheritance that was given to him. He just wasted it all away. And then, after his money was all gone, well, not only did his money dry up, but there was a famine as well. So now the young man's in a real pickle, and because he was broke and he was destitute, and he had no means to be able to sustain himself. So I'm sure his reputation was out and about because of the attention that doing those sorts of things brings to you. And so he needed to figure out how he was going to be able to even feed himself. So he was hired by one of the citizens of that area to care for the pigs. And one of the things that he was doing was he was taking the husk for the food that was supposed to be given to the pigs, and he was eating it himself. And he was like, well, this isn't really enjoyable. I'm sure it was very unpleasant. But, the things that you do when you're in such a destitute that you just make these decisions. And here he is. He's in a very, very uncomfortable and bad place. But in verse 17, it says, and when he came to himself, when he realized, like, man, today, in today's terminology, we would say, I really hit rock bottom. I'm like at my lowest right now. So when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? So what do? He's thinking, well, man, I'm going to have to really do something here. So I'm going to go back home and I'm going to talk to Dad and tell him that, I really screwed up, Dad. And I'm screwed up so bad that I'm not even worthy to be called your son anymore. And so this is something that he needed to do and did, and went back to his father and asked his dad that, hey, since I'm not even worthy to be your son, why don't you just hire me as a servant just so I can survive? And so going down to verse 22, I wanted to read this because it's important. It's important for us to be able to share this mentality with people that are close to us, or even people that we come across in our lives, how this father reacted. It says in verse 22, I'll read through 24, but the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be married. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. So his father said, no. I'm going to take care of you. I know that you screwed up, but we're going to have this big old barbecue, and we're going to celebrate that. The fact is that, number one, you learned your lesson. Number two, you came back. And that's the important thing, is that you came back. You're my son. And it's his father showing him that no matter what, he loves him. No matter how bad he screwed up, he still loves him. But, you know, I think about my life and my older brother, and, you know, it's kind of interesting because his older brother was in the field and he heard all this music going on. It says he heard music and dancing. I don't know how you hear dancing. Maybe they were wearing bells and stuff on their wrists and feet. I don't know. And sent the servant to see what was going on. And so then since he got angry, he went and he talked to his dad and said, hey, you know, I've been with you this whole entire time in serving you. And here goes the little brother, my younger brother. He blew all of your inheritance. And it was through partying and prostitution. And you throw him this giant barbecue and you have dancing and music. And, you know, he was just, he was beside himself, I would imagine, like, what is this all about? And his father, again, you know, very, the way I looked at it was very meek words and very from the heart. In verses 31 and 32, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. You are just as important to me as the younger son that has come back. And all that I have is thine. So everything I gave you, you still have. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. And so his dad was saying that, you know, despite all the things that he did, he realized what was wrong. He came back to his father and he wanted to be a part of that again, which was good. And so his father was showing the love. His father always loved the older son, but there was the problem with the younger son, but he was forgiven. And his father was teaching valuable lessons to both the brothers by his example in what he was doing. He was supporting both of them because even though one made bad decisions, he had a change in direction and he came back and he was making the right decision. And he was supporting the other brother because he was making the right decision the whole time. He was providing equally words of wisdom to both of them. And it's just interesting because we could have a very challenging time doing that in our lives and through our words and our emotions and our action. You know, a lot of times when these types of things happen, and I've experienced it myself as a father, you lash out and you say the wrong thing and you think about it. And I'm just thankful because these things, these principles that the gospel teaches us, helps us be shaped and molded by the love of God that we can share and grow and give to generation after generation and improve and become better and better followers of Christ, better children of God. And I think about that and, you know, you can't get 100% every day in your life. You can't do the best thing all the time, but you can always make little improvements here and there. It's those tiny little minute changes in your life that can change how you work, how you act, how you feel, how you speak for years to come. If you decide within your heart that I'm going to just make this one little decision to do the right thing, to say the right thing. And just like that, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And if we can be an example, if we can show others the way to bring them back in, then there's joy that comes with that. And God's work is being done. And, you know, just like here, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I think about how, you know, it could be difficult. It could be difficult walking in this world. And with God by our side, there's no reason to fear the things of the world. There's no reason to be frantic or fearful of the inability to see the unknown or what's going to happen. If we're prayerful, if our hearts are open, if we can visualize what God wants us to do, these things in this world should bring a calmness and a peace in our hearts that helps us be untroubled through the difficult situations and what the world throws at us. It helps us be able to see how God works and how his miracles work and how powerful he is and the capabilities that he has. It's really an interesting experience when you see that through the most difficult of times, when you put God first as the priority, how he shows you the way. But as anything else, we need to learn and to be able to correct ourselves and to receive correction from the Lord. And so that's what I have here in thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And it's because for the most part, as a shepherd, these are tools. These are defense tools, weapons, and tools to help keep the fold safe. I have here the rod served as a weapon to protect the flock from wild animals and other dangers, I'm sure. People that were trying to steal the sheep or, you know, criminals and stuff of that nature, but probably a lot of times wolves and mountain lion, coyotes, things of that nature, they would utilize this rod to be able to protect the flock. And it really, in Matthew, it said that it signifies the shepherd's divine authority and power to keep the flock safe and disciplined. And so, you know, it helps be able to correct some of the sheep if they're doing things that are out of line or causing trouble amongst the flock. So, you know, God does things in our lives to help us be able to see and to recognize that we need to change our course of actions. And it's just a loving correction that the Lord gives us. And it's by no means should be a taking as a harsh punishment, but you know, if we're stepping out of line with the Lord and he's trying to teach his loved children something, you know, there's things that God does to help us be able to be corrected. I really appreciate the staff and how it's used. And one of the things that it was, the crook and the staff was used, was to be able to pull the sheep out of dangerous places. Like if they fell in a gully or if they were stuck in a marsh or something like that, you could hook the sheep around the neck and drag them out. It also helped be able to guide the flock as well. And you know, it was an additional tool to keep them safe. And so both of those together, they brought a lot of assistance to the shepherd to be able to defend, to guide, and to show strength. All these things that were provided through the rod and the staff for the flock, and we should see those things and how God is working with his tools in our lives, how he does those things in our lives through his power and through his might. And it should help us be able to stay on the path and not to wander away. And so, you know, these are the things that God wants us to be prepared for, these things of this world in which we're going to encounter, this valley of the shadow of death. And it's prepared by him. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And so all these things are provided by the Lord through his goodness. And these are the things that are applicable to our soul, that will meet the test of time, that will work for us in this present time and for eternity as well. For all of eternity, these things in which God prepares for us on his table, on his time, it helps us be able to overcome the things of this world. And I think about the things in which the Lord gives. And it's not just what he gives, it's how he gives it. And it's through a life of devotion. It's through a life of giving. And it's through our desire to serve and to follow. I see all the little rewards that come along the way with what God is doing and how it really keeps me desiring to follow after the Lord, and it should for everybody as well. And in Matthew 5, 6, it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And, you know, there shouldn't be emptiness in your life when you have God in it. You should be filled. You should be thankful for what God provides through everything and how He takes care of us. It says here, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." And so we understand the ordinances in which God gives us, and how this oil is an important part of all of our lives and parts of our lives where we ask to be administered to, and how it heals us. And it's an outpouring, a symbolization of the outpouring of God's Spirit. But for a shepherd, this oil was important as well as part of their daily life. And I did a little research on oil. Olive oil is what I looked up. And it has phenolic compounds. I think I said that right. It has antibacterial, antiviral, and antimicrobial beneficial effects for infections and infectious diseases. There's terpenes, and phenols, which react and disrupt the cell membranes of bacteria, leading to cell death. So it has these properties in it that help protect and heal and do those things that will keep the flock healthy. And one of the things I remembered, and that's, I had to look it up again, it also protected the flock from insects. So I did a sermon one time, and we talked about the botfly, how it flies up the sheep's nose and causes all kind of gross stuff to happen. And actually, that oil is essential for that, what the shepherds would use, because it would deter the flies and all kinds of insects from landing on the sheep within their nose, their eyes, their face. Those bugs, they can do all sorts of weird things. We talked about at the Sunday donut thing this morning about some of these deer that actually have a lot of issues from flies biting them. They get these boils on them and stuff. So this type of oil, this, when the shepherd would put the oil on them, it would protect them from things of that nature. It would also, one of the things that, just like in any human nature or the animal kingdom, there's always going to be the butting of heads. And so one of the things, another reason why they would put oil on the sheep's head is because the male sheeps would butt heads with one another. And it was just, you know, in their nature to do so. They're gaining positional control over the flock and asserting their authority. But that oil on their head, once it was applied, would actually cause it to be able to deflect off easier. And it, you know, it just made them more slippery. And instead of being a harsh blow, it would cause their heads just to glance. And so that was something that the shepherds did to be able to care for their flock. And just like the Spirit of God, when it's poured out upon us, when we're there, when we're receptive of it, you know, it brings an abundance of good things that protect us. It gives us what God so freely gives: His love, His protection, direction, and strength. It helps us when we need to be healed, when we're asked to be administered to. It helps us be able to be cared for in a way that this world can't care for us, through your typical medicinal ways. And we know that God's ways are different than what this world offers. And I'm thankful to be able to see that and to recognize those things in which we learn and understand as we grow as part of the flock. And so it's because the Good Shepherd cares for us and provides for us. And so surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's one thing that, you know, once you start in this path, it's the Lord is always there, ready and willing to be able to help you through everything, no matter what the condition is, no matter what place you're in. It's one thing that is constant. It's constant in all of our lives if we're willing to serve. And Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord." And I think about that and how that, you know, wherever and whenever we need God, He's always willing to be there for us. And it could be challenging. There's a lot of other places that we can decide to go to in our lives. There's a lot of temptation out there. But God is by our side, and I'm thankful for that. So Psalms 84:10 through 12 says, "For a day in the courts is better than a thousand. I'd had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing He will withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee." And so the whole thing, the whole premise of this is to provide a little bit of inspiration in your life to see that when you cleave to God and you give that sense of duty and you put your trust in Him, that there's really, outside of Him, you don't really need much more. There's a lot that you can desire to have, but God provides all the things that are essential for you in your life. And, you know, where are our intentions? I think about that. What's my intention? Where am I at with my intentions? And I try to be intentional in a lot of things, in things that I do to show the light of God, to help bring people in from the fields of sin. And I think if we are intentional, that we really start to see the beauty of the gospel, we start to see the richness of the gospel, and we start to see the strength of the gospel, and we start to have an understanding more and more of, just like our brother's sermon this morning, what our purpose is. It really helps us understand how to take those things that should be a priority and make them the priority, and that all everything else falls in place, even though it's not all the time what you expect it to be or want it to be. So with that, God bless and each and every one of you, and have a beautiful night. Thank you.